I need to get through something. There's an irony to this today, is at most of the events I go to in Australia, I have to explain away my accent every single time, because everybody's always going, where is he from? They got to get it over. They got to get that all figured out. And so whenever I come back to America, everybody always I have to do the same thing. They have to go, why doesn't he have an Australian accent? I said, you don't understand. Americans do an Australian accent doesn't work. And we, just so you know, 14 years ago, we actually became dual citizens. So we're citizens of Australia. And because we really want to make sure we committed to the country that we've fallen in love with. But we paid the money. We had to take a test. We had to do all of the paperwork. But I guess we didn't pay enough money for the accent, so we're stuck with this one. And that's just kind of how it goes. Kathy's heard that joke so many times, she's probably tired of it. But thank you for having us. We're so thrilled to be here today. I don't want to disappoint you, and I will set things up. I'm not going to be doing a full-blown Australia presentation, even though I love talking about Jesus, the Bible, and Australia. I love that opportunity, and the Lord has really blessed us over the past few years. It's been challenging, it's been difficult in different times, but we are amazed to see what we can do as far as expressing what the Lord has done across the nation of Australia. We're so thankful to represent not only ABWE, but City Bible Forum, Third Space, Real Dialogue, Rouse Hill Bible Church, and our family, as well as our Savior Jesus Christ in that amazing country. But also we want to say thank you to First Family, because First Family's been there since the beginning. You've been there through this whole journey. You've sent down teams and people to come and serve along with us. And we are so grateful for the church and what you've been able to give us. Kathy and I have just loved serving in Australia. We've fallen in love with the nation, and we've fallen in love with the people, and we're so thankful to be able to be a part of that and be a part of the ministry, and the fact that you're a part of that is we're very thankful for that. So hopefully you'll hear that very clearly today. Now we're gonna probably take a different path than you might have thought I would take today. In talking about missions. But I thought, in looking at the whole theme of Go Week and what that means to you, I know that there are different people here that represent different things when it comes to missions. And so I'm going to actually go to a talk called Mission Wisdom. Mission Wisdom. Now, for some of you who see my gray hair, you probably think, oh, maybe he's just going to give a seminar on what to do missions. And say, yeah, that could be the case. But it's not. It's actually, this was inspired by a study of Colossians, a letter from a missionary to a church. The Apostle Paul, as he was in prison most likely, writing to a church in Colossae. And from this, I really found quite poignant, you know, in this era that we live in, we see the world changing rapidly. But yet when you read the words of Paul, you realize, oh my, things haven't changed. The words of the Bible lay true for us all. And it's an amazing gift to be able to bring this for you today. Knowing that there are people here who've been on the mission field before, or those who are currently serving in the mission field in foreign lands. Welcome you. I welcome you. There's those, as we heard, from the different missionaries that are raising support right now to be able to go to the mission field. Well, this talk's for you. But also, it's for those who are kind of kicking the tires. What is this whole missions thing really about? I mean, Go Week is a perfect setup for that. I mean, if you want to come and hear about Australia, we're actually speaking at different homes over this coming week. We'd love to have you come. I'm sure that some of those groups would welcome any additional people coming along to be able to hear about the mission of Australia. But today, I'm really going to be looking at Paul's letter to give us this mission wisdom, as it were, an understanding of what we need to do. Because one thing I would really appreciate about seeing all of you here is that there's a mission field right around you too that you have to consider. I have so many different missionary students who come to me and ask us questions like, well, what should I be doing now before I go to the field? And I said, you need to start serving. I mean, you can't go to the field thinking you're going to be doing something there that you're not doing here. You need to be doing mission now before you go to the mission field if you think you're meant to go there. And so hopefully this would be able to equip you I jokingly called this talk before what I wish I had told myself 20 years ago. But seven things that I was really able to gain from and appreciate from Paul's letter to the Colossians. So we'll go to the first thing, and that would be clear vision. Clear vision. Clear vision. God's plans are the only plans worth holding on to. And how? Well, this passage shows us how. Right there in the sentence mark number one, it says this. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things on this earth. Now I'm going to start where I usually finish with a lot of my talks. Because I'm going to say to you right now, if you want to know what God's will is for your life, you need to know God. And the only way you can know God is through Jesus. Straightforward. If you don't know Jesus, you don't know God, and you can't know God's plan for your life. You need to make sure that you have a solid relationship with God. Knowing Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection, what it provides for you. This is a church that can help you to understand that. But I really want to make sure I start right there because I need for you to understand and know that you can only be looking at Christ as your example, as the one to be able to look to, and looking at He is the one that you go to for your plans. For you to have a clear vision, you have to be looking to Jesus. You have to have that relationship and understand and know that the only way that you can know where to go or if you should go is if you know Jesus. See, when it comes to finances, health, and marriage, and family, and all the different things, you have to set your eyes on what is above. See, once you make the step towards missions in life, you have to put everything into the Lord's hands. You have to relinquish control and give it over to the Lord. We need to die to ourselves. You need to trust in God's plan, no one else's. You got to hold loosely to your own personal plans. Be sure not to also base your plans on someone else's plan. See, God doesn't change. Make that very clear. But plans change. Missions change. People change. I've heard of too many people who've committed to going to a mission field because I want to work with that person. And what happens? A week before they arrive, that person leaves the field. Missions change. I don't even want to look back at what my presentation was 20 years ago when I was presenting here. I maybe have gotten a few things right about Australia, but I knew enough to be dangerous about Australia, but I didn't really know it. We've lived there now. We know it. I'm actually wired more Australian than I am American in so many ways. I have a beautiful wife who kicks me under the table when I start acting more Australian than American in this atmosphere. But we couldn't have known it. If we kind of tried to hold on to what we thought it was going to be when we went to the mission field, things like third space and real dialogue and all of the various things that we've been a part of wouldn't have come to fruition. Our Lord doesn't change, but we need to be willing to change. But let me tell you this. Please hear this. Stop looking back. If you're planning to go to the mission field, you need to stop looking back. You need to put your hands to the plow and not continually be looking back. I mean, Jesus spoke to the fact, he said, no one who puts his hands to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Many of our friends in Australia say when we come to America, they go, oh, aren't you excited about getting to go home? And I go, and you may have heard this joke before, but I go home every night. I get to go back to America to visit friends and family and supporters, but our home is in Australia. Our physical home is there. We love the country we are in. Not that we don't love America. We do love, we're proud of our heritage. But where we live is where we are. But you need to understand, too, it has less to do about our home and it really have to do more about our work. See, what the Lord has for you is before you, not behind you. We need to stop yearning for the past and what was there and look forward to the future. I have so many friends who worked in missions who constantly are looking back and going, oh, if only I had what I had back in America. Well, they're always going to be disappointed. Wherever you're serving is a different country. We have the same message, don't get me wrong. But you can't be constantly looking back. We need to focus on our Savior. We need to be focusing on things above. We need to not be thinking of the things of this earth. The second would be honest with yourself, others, and God. Now, Colossians 3 kind of goes through and gives this laundry list of things that we should not be, that we should put away. You know, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk. Okay, definitely, don't do those. But the thing that really stood out for me, if this time, for some reason, especially when I'm going to talk about missions, is it says, do not lie to one another. Oh. Now you think, well, come on, missionaries, we don't lie. I wish it was easier to say than that. And you would hope that we wouldn't. But all it takes is you go into one church, you serve there for a while, you preach, you serve alongside their leadership, and you meet with their missions committee, and they say, we're going to support missionaries that do this, and your mission does this. They don't align. Both are biblical. Nothing wrong with them. Don't try to retrofit it. Be honest with yourself, be honest with others, and be honest with God. Or you're on the mission field and you get the fifth request in a month for a quick 2-minute video to be able to talk about and showcase your ministry for a church. Praise God for that. But of course, that's the week that everything has gone pear-shaped in your ministry. Your marriage is struggling, your children are rebelling, and you don't want to talk to anybody about what you're doing on the mission field right now. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with others. Be honest with God. Or you go to a missions conference where everybody else seems to have the coolest table, the greatest presentation. They're putting up the big numbers on the board. And that's not how you measure your ministry. You can't even talk about your ministry that way. Well, the potential to manipulate stories, stretching the truth a bit, or say something that kind of helps us to raise support isn't worth it. Honesty guides good people, as it says in Proverbs 11. Dishonesty destroys treacherous ones. Remember, it is easy to lose a lot of things, but my friends, if you lose your name, it's hard to reclaim that. It's not worth it in the end. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Loving favor rather than silver and gold, it says in Proverbs 22. We can find and regain many things, but a name is a hard thing to regain. Be honest with yourself, be honest with others, and be honest with God. The third thing is, it isn't us versus them. I love verse 11, it says here, here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. It isn't us versus them. Meaning we're not going to the country to represent the country that you're coming from. You are an ambassador of Christ. And that's it. That's the flag we furl. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. God makes us appeal, makes his appeal through us. We need to stop talking more about what we left behind and really looking ahead to the future. You need to embrace the culture. You don't have to compromise your faith for the sake of the culture, but you do need to embrace the culture for you to truly reach the culture. Enjoy the sport. Wear the clothes. Eat the food. That's how people show their love here and around the world. Eat the food. But I have to tell you one of my favorite stories because it's also one of my favorite stories I tell about my son. When we first got to Australia, he was asked to play Australian rules football. Australian rules football. I had no idea what that was. It's one of the most entertaining games in the world. I love it now. But at first I didn't have any idea, but we went along and he trained. He had a great time. I got to meet a lot of the different men that were kind of the dads that were hanging out. It was a great community to be a part of. And the first game, the manager comes walking up to us and I'm like doing the typical American thing, putting out my hand. Hey, how are you going? This is great. It's great to see you. And then all of a sudden I realize I'm standing there alone because the manager has come up to ask us to volunteer to keep score of the game. which I had no idea about. And all of a sudden I had flags in my hands and I had a jacket around me, and all the dads were standing up on the hill laughing at me because I'd stuck around. But then all of a sudden I got to be a part of a community. We were the only Jesus within that community. Some of the conversations I had with the men were amazing. I went on to do all these other things for the football club. I even managed the team for a while, a game I didn't know anything about, but yet the Lord opened up huge doors for us in that atmosphere. My friends, embrace it. It's amazing to see what the Lord can do through us. It's not us versus them. We're there to reach this culture for Jesus. Make sure that we're doing that. The next thing would be mission roles. Mission roles. It says here in verse 12, put on then as chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. When I first was in missions, just so you know, I was in full-time sales jobs for 14 years prior to going into missions work. And so what did I do? I recruited everybody. Oh yeah, man, you should come. Come to Australia. Everybody should be in missions. Come, 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 come. And then after a few years, you're going, no, 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 maybe not you. That's not you, so yeah. Just joking. See, when it comes to missions, I think everyone needs to be a part of the missions process. Everyone is meant to be a part of the missions process. But there are those who are clearly meant to go to the mission field, and then there are those who are meant to stay where they are and support and pray for those who are on the mission field. And that is not being offensive at all. We all have a part to play. We all aren't meant to go to the mission field. So many people come up and ask me, how do you know? How do you know if God's telling you to go? I said, it's really simple. Actually, I just read a great book, Terry Walling. It's called Stuck, Navigating Life and Leadership Transition. And it just laid out exactly what I've been saying for years. It said, one is a word check. Do a word check. Read his word. If you want to know what Lord wants you to do, read his word. Read the Bible through the living word. A prayer check. Pray to God. Be praying. Really be actively listening and go back to the word. It's a virtuous cycle. And then divine contacts. Counsel from godly men and women. Go to men and women that know you, that also know the Lord well and would be able to give you insight into knowing and understanding where you're meant to go. My friends, if you're hearing the push, the pull, the call, whatever word you want to use for it, to missions, you better go. I love to quote my wife when I say this, but she always says, if you can say no to the Lord, he's most likely not your Lord. Don't say no. Just go. It's simple as that. Yet when it comes to missions, there's others that need to serve from home, from here, supporting, praying for them, praying for missions, doing mission here, where you are. If you feel like the Lord is really leading you towards missions or considering it, Paul also really kind of helps us to understand some of the characteristics. I mean, you can see the list that he gives us there, but I'll really zone in on two key ones. Humility and patience. Wow. This one hits me straight in the face. I mean, I came out of sales. Humility wasn't necessarily always there. But yet we need to have humility. You're in pre-field ministry. Before you're going to the field, you think you know everything you know about the country, and you know nothing. I mean, you don't. We've been there for 18 years, and we're just really starting to learn. You need to trust the Lord with the plans. You need to be humble, turning them over to him, being patient when the funds aren't coming or when you go to that one more church who doesn't quite get what you're doing. So you need to understand with patience that if the Lord wants you in the mission field, he will get you there. The finances will come. The opportunities will come. The support will come. But you need to be patient and you need to be humble. Follow God's direction for your life. The next one is a hard one. Love your fellow travelers. Love your fellow travelers. And there's a two-parter to this. says here in verse 13, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all, these put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. I'll say the first part is don't lose your family. Your family is not a sacrifice for mission. Your family are the fellow travelers that God has given you to go with. If you think you're meant to go into missions, but your spouse doesn't, do not go. A divided house does not serve well. You must both be committed to it. Just like the video we saw before, you see a committed couple, ones that have come together that want to go. Yes, but also your children are a part of the missions team. They're the ones that are going to set up the tables and set up all the chairs when you do your church plant. They need to be a part of it too. You can't lose your family. I love about Colossians 3. It just kind of goes through and shows us exactly what we're supposed to do as you go through. It says submit, love, obey, encourage your family. This pleases the Lord. And also you need to understand that when you get to the mission field, everybody adapts in a different way. It takes time. You might be ready to go and head on in, but yet your spouse or your children might be struggling. You need to invest in that. You need to help them along on the journey. Not hope that they kind of get along. No, you need to invest in it. You can't lose your family. You need to love your fellow travelers. But also you need to love your fellow travelers, meaning other missionaries. This is the one where my finger points out there and all these other fingers are pointing back. We have our grocery stores called Woolworths or Woolies, as we call it. And in Woolies, in the produce section, they have bags of carrots and like apples and other things that are kind of off. They're not quite right. And so the bag says on the outside, the odd bunch. It pretty much could be the definition of missionary teams, the odd bunch. Groups of people who are passionate about going to a mission field, who come with different purposes and plans and drives and are motivated and excited, but then all of a sudden they get to the mission field and you realize, oh no, we don't all agree on things. I worked in sales for 14 years. This is a vicious world I was working in for many years. And I thought, oh, Christians, we should all be treating each other great. Unfortunately, it didn't really happen that way. But to my shame, one thing I didn't do is listen to what Paul says here, is to forgive. And I would have to say, to my shame, for the first couple years, bitterness took over my heart in so many ways. And my friends, bitterness is a vicious, vicious master. Forgive. Love your fellow travelers. We're all odd. Embrace it. Be thankful for what we have been given in our Lord Jesus Christ. What's amazing about it, Colossians 3, as you continue down into the verses down below in 22 and 24, it shows you how to be a fellow traveler, how to work with other people, obey, fear the Lord, sincerity, hard work, forgiveness. Love your fellow travelers as you're going along. And as I get towards the end of this, I find it fascinating because these were components or things that you could do a whole lesson on or a whole service on itself, but they're so important and so critical. One is thankful peace, thankful peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. The first thing I'll say is that you need to get rest. You probably heard it before, you can't really give from an empty cup. If you're not refilling, if you're not resting, the only place you can truly find peace is resting in the Lord, taking time with him, investing in him, building into your relationship, growing. That's not your study time for a sermon. No, that's meant to be a time where you're supposed to be really getting in and understanding and knowing what your Savior wants from you and also how he can refresh your soul. The peace that passes understanding, as it says, can only come through Christ. And what better way to find peace with God is to be thankful. I know it's hard. Some of you are going, oh, but you don't know my life. I do. Because it's hard sometimes to be thankful. To be thankful in the good days or the bad days. To be thankful when there's abundance in those times of scarcity. Those times when you're fully supported and those times when there's a lot more month than there is money. At all times, we need to be thankful. We were traveling on the bus from the rental car agency to the airport just recently. And this really nice family sat down to next to us. And we just got to chatting. It's kind of what I do. They're like, hey, how's it going? He's going great. He's going, yeah, so where are you guys coming? Where are you going home? He's like, yeah, we're going to Houston. I said, oh. He said, where are you coming from somewhere? I said, well, yeah, actually, I know that we're coming from Australia. He's like, oh. Are you evangelists? And I look at him and I go, it's like, well, yeah, I'll take that label. Sure, yeah, I guess we do evangelistic work in Australia. That's true. He goes, praise God for you. I'm so thankful. Oh, I'm a Christian. You know what? And this is literally in 2 minutes. We're riding to the rental car agency. He goes, you know what? What? I said, I had cancer. So. Wow, I said, I'm sorry? He said, no, don't be sorry. He said, I'm thankfully, Lord blessed, I don't have cancer anymore. I'm in remission. I said, oh, praise God for that. He said, yeah, but you know what? Because my family's listening, you need to understand something. I didn't say that it was just that God did heal me, but he said, you got to understand, I wasn't scared. Because if God didn't heal me, that was his choice, his will, I would be with him for eternity. I was thankful. One man's testimony in 2 minutes on a bus. He was thankful to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for what he'd done in his life. That's what we can do. That's what you do. Invest in people. Give it out. Say, be thank you, Lord, and just share it. Oh, Lord, thank you. I had cancer. I didn't, but he did. But I'm thankful. My friends, if you can enact thankful peace in your life, it surpasses anything you could ever understand. And that brings us to the final thing, daily praise. Daily praise. Let the word of Jesus Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Declare his glory, my friends, not yours, his. Speak of God's marvelous deeds among the people and the nations, as it says in Psalm 96, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. Preach the gospel wherever you are, in word and deed, to yourself, to your churches, to your neighbors, to your friends, to your family, to everyone. We need to always remember what we are doing, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus and allowing the Lord to do the work. We need to get out of the way and let him do the work. His marvelous deeds are declared amongst all the people of this world. My friends, I can tell you there's so much more I would love to just go into and share. There's so many stories we could go through and share with you. But I want the focus to be on our Lord and Jesus Christ today. You can see the list there of the wisdom of Paul, having a clear vision, being honest. It isn't we versus them. Your role in missions, understanding what that is and that we all have a part to play. Loving your fellow travelers, thankful peace, and daily praise. There's so much more I'd love to share with you. But this is where I'll leave it with you. Let me speak to the people out there that right now are considering the whole missions thing. Go Week. Woohoo! Woo! You should be excited about it. It's amazing. Not too many churches do something like this. This is amazing. That person who's considering, should I? Is this what the Lord wants? If you're really feeling that the Lord's pushing you or pulling you or directing you to missions, you need to go. Don't say no. You need to go. Ask the questions. Inquire. Read. Read the word. Pray. It is an honor to be able to serve in the foreign mission field, declaring his glory amongst the nations. This marvelous, marvelous thing. It's hard. It'll stretch you beyond anything you would have ever experienced. Yet, if you are in God's will, there's no better place to be. My friends, today, go. Don't say no, just go.